This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Miami's own online liquor store, Liquor Split. Download, then tap that app.
Oh, yeah.
And get your favorite liquor delivered to you for just $2.99. No risk, no drinking and driving. Tap that app with Liquor Split.
What are you waiting for?
Got it. Yes, sir. Every day of the week, you get a Miami Heat report twice a week. This gentleman joins us exclusively here in South Florida, Anthony Chang from the Miami Herald, and our Liquor Split Miami Heat report. Good morning, sir. Hope you are doing well and ready for game two tonight.
Doing good, Big O. How are you?
Very good. By the way, since you walk into FTX Arena as a crypto guy myself, I'm just wondering, have you gotten into crypto yet at all? Because I think so far, of any of our insiders, none of them are into crypto, right? Not one of them. Well, actually, there's one now. No, Craig Mish. Mish is actually into crypto. He and I had a crypto conversation the other day because, as you all know, we added Craig Mish to the family. Yeah. Now we added Marlins reports now to our family. So are you in a crypto at all yet? Have you been intrigued at all? I'm just wondering.
I am intrigued, but I have not gotten involved yet. Okay. I want to. I'm interested for sure. I know it's probably the wrong time at this point because I've waited so long. But
No. It's the greatest time ever. Listen to me. The greatest time ever. We have been in the golden window for the last 5 months where we've had a down. There's blood in the streets. The amazing part yesterday, people don't talk about this. The Dow went down nearly 1,200 points yesterday. You saw that, Sean? Bitcoin didn't move. I thought it was. I was ready. I had a couple extra bucks. I was ready to buy it another dip, and it did not move. It stayed in the 29 area where it's been. So I'm really wondering if it's finally hit its bottom. So actually, and we have several crypto segments on this show. It's all there, video. So if you ever run a pick up a little edumacation.
Yeah, it's good to know for sure.
And of course, if you always can pick up the phone and call
me. I was gonna say I'll call you too. I'll find my mic.
Yeah, you can call me. You can call me. But definitely it is a great time right now. All right. Is it a great time for Lowry? What the hell is the deal? It seems like he's out again. How bad is this hamstring now? Because this is the kind of stuff that can linger for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. I mean, in every sport, we see it. Hamstring just can linger. And especially when you come back from a hamstring and then you re-aggravate it, that's not good. So I always said, you know, I've talked to a few people and even they're not sure when he's going to come back. They think it's probably 50-50. He comes back at some point soon. So it doesn't really give you an answer, but I think that just shows you the uncertainty right now surrounding his status. He missed 2 weeks when he first tweaked the hamstring. This Sunday will be 2 weeks since he re-aggravated the hamstring. So I always said I thought he was going to miss at least those 2 weeks, which would take him to game four of this series. So I think there's a chance he could come back. Like I said, they think 50-50 in this series. But we'll have to see how he progresses and how he feels, you know, probably early next week. My guess is he won't come back until at some point next week. That's my guess. He hasn't even practiced with the team yet, so.
Right. Well, folks, if you're watching the Heat or the Panthers tonight, remember, download the app, iOS or Android, Liquor Split. You can order your liquor, snacks, all of that. Don't want you drinking and driving. Flat fee of $2.99. No hidden fees. $1 of it goes to help homelessness in Miami. So download that app. All right. So it looks like he's out. Now, if we start to look at it, are they missing him? Really, are they missing him right now with the way Gabe Vincent is playing? And one of the things that happened in the last game, and I told you about this, I told you I didn't want to see Duncan Robin minutes split.
Yeah, he didn't get any. No.
With Caleb. Caleb ended up getting all the minutes because they need two-way players in this game, in this series. And unfortunately, Duncan's not even a complete one-way offensive player, much less two-way. So talk to me a little bit about that. Are they really missing Lowry right now? Because can Lowry even provide what they need in a series where they desperately need a two-way player?
I think Kyle's a solid defender.
He is. But right now, where the shape he's in is what I'm saying.
Right. The fact that he hasn't played much in about a month, pretty much, and you don't know how close he is to 100%. I think that's why they're going to be patient, though. We saw that a 70% Kyle Lowry, it's just there's diminishing
returns. I believe we saw him get into foul trouble because of
that. Yeah, I mean, and okay. he didn't make a three. I mean, he didn't make a shot pretty much his two games back. So 100% Kyle Lowry, yeah, he makes his team better, especially in close games. Thankfully for the Heat, they really haven't had that many close games down the stretch so far. That's when you really need Kyle to kind of set things up.
This is why I bring it up, my dog.
Yeah.
Because he'll never be 100% for the rest of this year. He's done. You don't go from where you're at right now to 100%, bro. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've been covering sports for 32 years, dog.
Right.
I know you don't go like that with the hamstring. Hey, Lynn Bowden Jr., half his age, he missed last year and was put on the IR because of a hamstring injury. Now he's back after a whole offseason. He can't be on mini camp. Why? He's got another hamstring injury. So you wonder, it's like, did you handle it right? And that's a young player. So that's my point. That's why I ask you that. He will never be 100% for the rest of this season. I think we can agree on that.
Sure.
He may not tell us that, but come on, man. We all know.
No, it's
so remember, people have been talking about this, writing about this. So do you ease him back now because you're afraid you could tweak that thing?
Yeah, I think that you have to find out what's that point where it is worth having him out there, right? And there's no easy answer because you don't know until he's out there. That's the problem. You know, I'm sure the reason they've had him come back against Philly was they thought he could help them, right? And we saw that he really couldn't do much. And I'm sure, you know, they won't say they regret it because they have no regrets, obviously, but you think if they would have just let him rest that entire series, give him four total weeks off, would he be closer to 100% right now? Probably, right? So, yeah, I think you're right. He probably will not be 100% the rest of this year just because of the nature of the hamstring injury. But can he get to 90%? Is 90% Kyle Lowry better than Gabe Vincent? We'll have to see. And the Heat will have to make that call at whatever point that is when they think he might be ready. And also, you have to remember, I know the C team is deep right now, even without Kyle. I mean, you have Caleb Martin as a ninth guy, but having Kyle in there makes them even deeper, right? I mean, you can play 10 guys. And guys don't have to play as many minutes, and Jimmy doesn't have to, you know, handle as much of the ball handling duties when Kyle's in there. So I think Kyle makes his team better. It's just about, can he get to that version of himself that can help this team? That's the big question.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the other thing that we've crossed this threshold now, too, Anthony, and we're talking with Anthony Chang, of course, from the Miami Herald in our Liquor Split Miami Heat report. A lot of veterans, you know, as they get older and they get banged up, you remember Dwayne Wade had to deal with that bruised knee and all those kind of things, but they still find a way to get on the court and they find a way to help out. And Kyle's now at a point where his body and at his age, he's not able to overcome certain things anymore and still be effective. And that's the trick, that some of these guys, as they get older, even when they get banged up, they still find a way to get out on the court. PJ Tucker.
Right.
And whatever he did in the locker room at halftime or whatever.
A genie, he said. There's a genie back there.
Well, yeah. if Will Smith was there and they rubbed him out of the bottle and he got away from Jada Pinkett Smith and he gave him a wish, well, then that's fantastic. But my point is, PJ Tucker finds a way with that beat up body to get back on the court and help his team. And Kyle Lowry has crossed the threshold that he can no longer do those kind of things.
Yeah. And I think every injury is different, right? I'm not saying PJ's injury is not bad, but when you have a hamstring like Kyle, when you're not effective and you can't play and you can't, it's hard just to run. You can't be out there in the playoffs. You just can't. They're going to take advantage of you defensively. On offense, you saw him, he tried to play. Well, he played the rest of that game in Philly when he heard it. We heard it, and he was out there. But on offense, he was just standing still, just passing the ball pretty much, you know. Right. So you just, in the playoffs against really good teams like Boston, you can't have a guy like that out there. So I think the Heat are obviously making the right call with him. And, it's, you know, especially when you have a guy like Gabe who's playing so well in his shoes. And Gabe will tell you, like, Kyle's a big part of that. Kyle's helped Gabe a lot this season as far as becoming a better point guard, making, you know, better reads. Kyle's really been big in his development. And even during these games when Kyle's not playing, you see it on the bench. Like, Kyle's usually one of the first ones to Gabe, telling him something when he comes to the bench, when he comes out of the game. So you have to give credit to Kyle for kind of help. Not, you know, obviously Kyle didn't expect this, but the fact that he's helped Gabe throughout the year is paying off right now while Kyle's out.
Speaking of hammies, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, what do we know?
Yeah, I'd expect them to play. I'd be pretty surprised if they don't. They were on the injury report last game too, both of them with the same hamstring injury, and they played. And they were, I mean, yeah, Strus had like a kind of an uneven game, but they were both fine. So there have been a bunch of guys who have been listed as questionable for the Heat this entire playoff run, other than Kyle Lowry, basically, and they've all played. So I'd really be surprised if they're not on the court tonight.
By the way, at halftime, I got all these panic wussies all over the place, and I don't know what you were thinking at halftime, but I'm like, I watched, and maybe it's, okay, you want to call me a homer, go ahead. But I looked at that half, and I go, so wait a minute. So the Pritchett kid and all these guys played their asses off. They played like this incredible first half.
And they're up eight.
Miami played like dog shit, and they trailed by 8 points. What's there to panic about? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that's what stood out in that first half. Like, Miami couldn't have played worse in that half. And to only trail by eight, I was like, they got this, bro. They're fine. They got to come back. And then the lazy take comes at halftime. I think it was Jalen Rose. Oh, you got to play Duncan Robinson. It's like, do you people understand this game? Do you understand this team? The defense is what ignites the offense.
Right.
That's what they were missing, bunnies. They were missing layups. They were, you know, the day you want to say, hey, play Duncan, is the day you're in a game that's super tight. Everybody's playing their asses off. And the only area where everybody's failing is shooting. 3-point. Yeah. 3-point. Not shooting. 3-point.
Yeah. Well, like in Philly. Like in Philly, last three series.
Yeah. Yeah. Just there's one little element that maybe you want to stick them in for a couple minutes, get them a couple open threes, and get them the hell out. I can understand somebody telling me that. But when I'm watching defensive breakdowns and lazy passes in that game too. It took them a while to figure out, yo, Boston's watching and they're looking at the passing lanes and they're trying to disrupt it and they're active hands. And yet they had one lazy pass after another. Dude, that has nothing to do with Duncan Robinson. And so I don't know what it is about the lazy take, but it's like it's like their go-to thing when there's a struggle, but they don't really look at what the struggle is.
Yeah, it's kind of like football, Bill. You know this. Like, everyone wants a backup quarterback to play.
Right.
The same thing. It's just the easy answer because you haven't seen him play, so you think he can help. So yeah, I totally agree with you. In that first half, they were generating pretty good looks against the Celtics defense. The Celtics defense is very, very good.
Yes.
But it was defensively that was so uncharacteristic for this team to allow 42 paint points in one half. I mean, they had been allowing like 35 paint points per game in the playoffs. They allowed 42 in one half. It was very unheat-like, and we saw the big drastic change in the second half where they allowed 6 paint points in the entire second half after allowing 42 in the first half. So that first half, like the fact that they were losing by 8 after playing that poorly defensively, I think that was encouraging. It was like weird because at halftime, like, wow, Celtics look a lot better. But then I look at the score, and they were only up 8, and I'm like, this feels like a lot worse. And obviously, the Heat turned things around, and you saw what happened.
I'm with you there. What did you think of Stephen A's, declaration that Jimmy Butler called him after the Sixers series and said, you and everybody have slept on me. I personally love that because that's just fuel to his fire, and every great pro has done that throughout his life to motivate themselves.
Yeah, it's just fun. That's fun. I kind of like that Jimmy's doing that, you know, in the playoffs, and he deserves it. Look, he's playing awesome. I don't say this lightly. I know this is usually like hyperbole, but Jimmy Butler in this year's playoffs, he's playing like Michael Jordan.
Superstar.
He's putting up Michael Jordan numbers.
Dude, I've always said Jimmy Butler's a hell of a player. He's an all-star. He's not a superstar. Not a superstar. He's a superstar. Not a superstar. Well, dude, I can't keep saying that.
No.
I can't keep saying that. And because it's hard, he's doing superstar things. Yeah. Oh, you need me to play defense? All right, I'll shut this guy down.
Just everything.
Oh, you need
me to play offense?
Oh, I'll do it. You need me to steal? You need me to pass? I'll do it. Whatever you need me to do, I will excel at. That's a superstar.
Yeah. But what's the biggest, like the most surprising thing for me, and I think that's what makes it hard to explain, is Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is a different player than the one we see in the regular season. I don't know if we could like have a comparison for that for another player in another sport. I don't know, like Josh Beckett maybe, and with the Marlins in that year. But playoff Jimmy, he's like a totally different player. I mean, you don't see him score 40 plus points in a regular season game. He's done it three times in the playoffs already. More aggressive, takes threes. He just has full control of the game. It's just totally different than regular season version of Jimmy Butler.
Here's the problem with Jimmy Butler, and this is what screws all of us up. How many times can you think in your lifetime, okay, that you've watched a player manufacture himself into a superstar? And let me explain. You knew Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Michael Jordan were superstars already right from the get-go because they flashed the talent. Giannis Antetokounmpo did not possess the magic of Bird and Johnson and Michael from his early days because he was so raw. But his rawness, his pure athleticism was so freakish.
Right.
You said once he honed that, he will be a superstar. And sure enough, but Jimmy Butler is not the guy that wows you with his jumping ability, his shooting ability. You know, he just doesn't. And he came into the league as the blue collar defender that had to learn how to shoot a mid range and then learn how to drive and learn how to fill the lane and all that, because he was kind of a raw offensive player. But he was all defensive effort.
Right.
And so it's hard to imagine how many of these superstars have been manufactured. And there are very few. And I don't know, maybe, you know, we've got hundreds of people watching here. I don't know if you guys can think of a guy that really just came out of nowhere and slowly but surely has just built a career that he goes from, you know, role player to frontline player to exceptional defender to all-star to now being a superstar because it's the way he plays. How many of those guys exist? Because you knew Trae Young was something special shooting-wise out of Oklahoma. And you said, well, if that translates, well, then yes. That's how we're used to seeing our superstars, that they're flashing from such a young age. And then they kind of grow into that because we expected them to do that. This is the guy that we've never expected him to do any of this.
Yeah, it's very unique. I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and I go back to those Pistons teams maybe, but even then, like Chauncey Billups.
No, but Isaiah was that guy in Indiana.
Yeah, but even like the more recent Pistons teams that won the championship with Ben Wallace and like Rip Hamilton and John, but they didn't have superstars. They had really good players. Yeah, Hamilton, but Jimmy, what Jimmy's done, his path to becoming a superstar.
Yeah. Hamilton doesn't even come close on the defensive side.
No, you're right.
He can't even in his dreams defend half as good as Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I don't, I'm sure there's somebody out there, but off the top of my head, I just can't, it's so unique that,
Paul George. Paul George is
very gifted and he's coming out of, he was really gifted coming out.
Coming out. Yes, exactly. Paul George has been, and by the way, Paul George is not a superstar because he doesn't raise his level of play all the time in key moments where Jimmy Butler does all the time.
Maybe Kawhi Leonard? I mean,
yes, that's a good one. That's a great one because Kawhi Leonard went completely on the dude. He was traded for George Hill.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah, and he was kind of a role player on those really good Spurs teams early on, and then he turned into the guy. You know,
and then he grew into the guy.
Yeah,
that might be one. And even having said that, Kawhi Leonard's raw ability is still superior to Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? Like Jimmy Butler again is not the super athlete that in anything, dude. Anything whatsoever. Yet, brother, his production is superstar. It's just, it's crazy, man. It just,
if Jimmy continues to play like Michael Jordan, he'd have a chance to win the championship. I'm going on a limb and saying that.
Of course. Yeah.
He's been incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. The defensive disposition of the team is always going to give them a base in this NBA. You know, back in the 90s, several teams can play defense. Not a lot of teams can play the way that this team does, you know, 8, 9, 10 deep, that they've got guys that can actually come off the bench and be two-way players. Not a lot of them are coming up on, but Kawhi might. You came up with a better one. I think Kawhi might be that guy that kind of really has grown into being the superstar. All right, Horford's out. Do we know for sure the head coach wasn't available to you guys?
Right.
Now they said it's non-COVID. Do you expect him to be out on the court at least coaching?
I would think so. I mean, we haven't heard otherwise, but sure. I'm sure we'll get an update later on today. But yeah, all we know is that he missed media yesterday with a non-COVID illness. Right. And Marcus Smart is listed as probable. So I think the expectation is Marcus Smart will play, which obviously should help Boston to have another really good defender out there. But Al Horford is doubtful. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Al Horford also misses game three, you know, because he is in protocols and that takes a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, definitely. That thing lingers. Whenever you get the COVID, it lingers usually for a week or two at least. You're stuck with that thing. So, yeah, unfortunately for them at least. We're saying at least for now, nobody on the Heat side. We haven't heard anything, right?
No. And you don't want to see that on either side because, you know, you don't want that to impact the results of these games, obviously. No. You know, so at this point of the season. So it's just unfortunate that, you know, 2 years into this, obviously, that, you know, we're still a thing that we're dealing with in the world and now in sports too, still.
Yeah, but listen, again, that's kind of part of the whole thing. When you win it all, you got to have some breaks. And, you know, when Miami got to the finals in the bubble, the Bam and Goran injuries were not the break that was the break the Lakers needed, not Miami. And so that's kind of part of the game, dude. It's just you got to have some breaks go your way too in the process. All right, what are you writing in the Miami Herald so folks can check you out, my friend?
Yeah, today I'll have something actually on Gabe Vincent and just how Kyle Lowry's influence on him. I talked to Gabe about kind of where Kyle's helped him the most this year, you know, as far as his point guard skills. And then tonight we'll have all full game coverage, and I'll have takeaways, in-depth analysis of game two, whatever happens tonight, win or loss. But it is a big game because obviously if the Heat go up 2-0, I don't think they've lost a series in franchise history.
Really?
That they've been up 2-0 in.
Did not know that. Wow.
And if the Celtics win game two, that's what they came here for, a split, right? So
yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
For some reason, it just feels like a swing game to me. I'm not saying that if the Heat go up 2-0, they definitely win the series, but I mean, they have a pretty good shot if you have a 2-0 lead. I mean, Celtics would have to win 4 of the last 5 games of the series to win it. So tonight's a big one.
So you're saying Kyle Lowry is not Ryan Tannehill. He is actually sharing his knowledge. Oh, okay. All right. Just checking. Follow him on Twitter at @Anthony_Chang. Catches exceptional work at the Miami Herald. And, of course, you can catch him exclusively here twice a week sharing his Heat and NBA knowledge with us. Mr. Chang, enjoy the basketball tonight. We will catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Big O. See you soon.
You got it. There you go. Anthony Chang, baby. Download that app, iOS or Android, Liquor Split, and tap that app. You know you love to tap that app. Get your favorite liquor delivered. No drinking and driving. Flat fee, $2.99. No hidden fees. That's our Liquor Split Miami Heat Report.